I'd like to bring on my very next guest, who is the author of a book called One Vegan Mama. Deanna Dillon Scott is an actress and writer living in Los Angeles, and we'll be discussing this new book, One Vegan Mama, in a moment. Deanna, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I'm glad we connected here.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm always curious about parents raising children vegan. So how old is your daughter right now?
My daughter is now 4 and a half.
4 and a half. Beautiful. And you wrote One Vegan Mama, and I fortunately was able to read it. And I want to say it's a very sweet story. And I enjoyed how very straightforward it was and simple. It just made so much sense, just the way you laid it out and did it. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, I wrote it with my Iowa roots in mind, because I live in Los Angeles where there's a lot of vegans and people are pretty savvy about it. But I definitely wrote the book with like my Midwestern upbringing in mind, and just knowing that a lot of people find it to be confusing and they're not sure what to think about it. And so I just wanted to make it very easy and just simple for people to understand, you know?
Well, you succeeded.
Yeah. Well, because I go back to Des Moines, Iowa every year because my whole family lives there. And it's just an entirely different take on it there. People, you know, they still eat a lot of meat there, and they just don't, they think it's just a fad. And it's actually far from that, you know? And so I wanted to lay it out in a way that people could, you know, and since I'm from Iowa as well, I think that makes it even easier for people to kind of relate to.
Yeah, so I'm curious, what's been the reaction to the folks you know in Iowa to your book, other than it being, veganism being a fad?
Well, it's, I actually have several family members that are now vegan.
Yay!
And I never thought that would happen. And even the most unlikely ones, like the couple that are vegan more recently, they just called me out of the blue and said that, you know, something struck a chord and they're vegan. And I have a cousin who's now been vegan for about 5 years, which is great. And it's actually, they've embraced it. And I think a lot of times it's the health aspect, because people start getting a lot of health problems and then all of a sudden it becomes something they care about.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no doubt that it's better for your health.
Well, I know you're in Los Angeles, but maybe you need to move back to Iowa and
yeah.
Do some serious activism there.
I know. Well, I actually have done some kind of grassroots stuff, and like there's different shops in Des Moines that have my book, and I'm going to go back there and do book signings. And, you know, I have pondered the idea of opening a restaurant there. It's just that I don't know who would run it. Maybe one of my sisters.
Yeah, it's hard. Running a restaurant is hard.
Yeah, it's something you kind of have to be on top of it, and I'm not living there, so it would be a little bit impossible.
Yes, and with a 4-and-a-half-year-old, it's an extra big challenge.
I wanted to say, too, like when I started to write the book when I was pregnant, and it was mainly just because of people's questions about vegan pregnancy and was it safe, was it healthy, and all that sort of thing. And I've read so many books about veganism, and, you know, some of them are so brilliant, but they're so difficult to understand if you don't already know a lot of facts.
Yep.
And it's too much, and that's why it just kind of dawned on me. I was like, I need to write a book that, like, someone in the middle of Iowa could pick up and read it and go, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't sound intimidating. And you include different foods that you can prepare, and it all seems very doable. At least I thought and I've been doing it for 28 years.
Well, you know what? You can find, you know, the ingredients that I have. I have some recipes, obviously, in the back of my book. And you can find them at any grocery store in America or around the world. I mean, it's not like other books that I've read. I'm sure the recipes are delicious and amazing, but in certain parts of the world, people would ask, what are these things? What are these ingredients? And so I just wanted to really simplify it. And that is the one thing that a lot of people said about my book. They're like, I actually feel like I could do it after I read your book.
Yeah. I have read like almost every How to Be Vegan book. And,
me too.
and a lot of them are great and they give you all kinds of information and shopping lists. But I talk to a lot of people about going vegan and I often get that deer in the headlights look or people feeling very overwhelmed. It just seems like so complicated. It isn't. We know it isn't.
It's not. But, and that's what people say too. They always go, oh, it's so hard. You have such willpower. You must have so much time. Like, it's so hard. And my response is always, I'm such a no-nonsense person, like, and I'm pretty laid back about things. If it was super hard, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. It's like, it's really not. It's just making different choices.
Now,
that's kind of it.
There are people that I've heard talk about why people go vegan and the reasons people go vegan, the ones that stay vegan are most likely going to stay vegan because they don't want to harm and kill animals. That some people who go into it for health may not stick with it. And you're definitely one of those people that got into it because of the animals.
Yeah, I'm an ethical vegan. I was a huge animal lover just since I was a small child, like really like most children are, if not all children. And I think what happened to me was what happened to everyone. You know, I was fed meat as a small child and I didn't really know what it was. And I was conditioned to love it. And yeah. Once I grew up and I realized I made the connections, I felt like a hypocrite. How can I say I'm this huge animal lover and I want to help all these animals? Meanwhile, I'm paying these corporations all this money to torture them. I couldn't get away from that. It kept haunting me. And, you know, I was vegetarian even for a long time and then that wasn't quite good enough. And I think when I came full circle and realized if I'm going to do something, I really strongly believe it in my heart that it's the right thing. Like I'm going to do it all the way. And it was really life-changing for me. And I would say, besides having my daughter, probably the best, most life-changing thing I've ever done.
I agree.
No,
how could it not be? It's so mm-hmm. huge on so many levels.
It just now, makes you look at the world differently.
Exactly. You look at the world differently. Number one, knowing that you do not need to kill to survive.
Nope, not even close.
You do not need to exploit, and then all of a sudden you start to recognize all the different areas where we exploit not only non-human animals, but our fellow human beings.
Yes. It has done that for me. Even, you know, being vegan made me look at, you know, gifts I buy for people, clothes I buy. I want to know where they come from. I want to know who's made them. I want to know if people are being exploited for it. You know, I like to support companies that are trying to do something, you know, from a more humanitarian perspective or a more caring, compassionate perspective. It's like it almost switches the way your mind works.
Well, our society has evolved, maybe evolve isn't even the right word to choose, but has transformed because of so many different things. We have corporations now that pretty much control everything that we buy, and these corporations mm-hmm. are global. They're not locally based, and it's so easy to detach from whatever it is we're buying and where it comes from, where it's made, as opposed to a small local business where you know the owner. If it's a farmer, you can actually see what's being grown, and we're so far away from that, although there are lots of people making efforts to get back to that. But that's what makes it easier in the name of convenience and efficiency. These corporations can do anything they want, and they end up exploiting animals, exploiting the environment, and exploiting their consumers by giving them crap for the most part.
Yeah, it's easy to pull the wool over people's eyes because people have no idea where these items are even coming from, how they're made, and it's very just concealed, you know, and convenient. Like you said, you can get it right on the corner, you know, it's just, and people's lives are busy, So they don't want to, you know, who wants to take the time to research every little thing they buy?
Okay, now you were lucky because you said that your doctor supported you being vegan during your pregnancy.
You know, I was surprised too because I, at that time, my insurance was through Kaiser. And although I have been told that they actually have in their medical journals to the doctors that encouraging a plant-based diet is good for patients. So they have a different take maybe than other places do. But I asked him what he thought about it right in the beginning, and he said, you're the last person I worry about. He said, you're so healthy. He said, I know that you're so conscious about what you eat and getting all your vitamins and minerals. And he said, I worry more about all the obese kids that are born.
Wow.
He said, we have so much obesity. And he said, you wouldn't believe the babies are coming here and there. You know, he said, you're the last thing. He supported me 100%.
Beautiful. There is one doctor who is thinking. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And he was older, too. He actually retired just about a year ago. He wasn't like some young progressive doctor. He was an older doctor. He just, in his words, he said, you know, I've seen it all. And he said, what I see more of than anything you're talking about is, you know, childhood obesity.
Kaiser actually is very progressive, and I think it was a year or two ago when they put out a policy statement saying that they're encouraging all of their doctors to promote a plant-based diet. Now, I don't know if they are, but they did put it in a document.
Yes, I read the document. I didn't know exactly what it was called, but yeah, I actually did read that document, and I was so encouraged by that. I was surprised because I've heard so many stories of people telling me their doctors told them not to be vegan or not be vegetarian, and so for them to put it in that something that all their doctors read, it's pretty amazing.
Let's talk about your daughter now. Now,
okay.
You said she's 4.5, and
yeah.
This is probably the easiest time you're going to have with her, and I'm curious to check in with you in another 10, 12 years when she's a teenager.
if she rebels on
yeah.
my veganism. Well, you know, it's the way I've approached it kind of from the beginning. Like, you know, I do a lot of things like I started an animal welfare group here, and I do a lot of other things to help animals, like rescue dogs and help fix the feral cats and just whatever I can do to sort of just help my community that has to do with animals. And I take her with me. And so, and she even comes to my meetings sometimes and hears everybody talking about the animals. And she understands already why we're vegan. You know, she knows we're vegan because we love animals. And if you love animals, you don't want to kill them and eat them. And she has a sense of pride about that. Like, she will ask people, even when it's the most delicious-looking thing, she'll say, is it vegan? They say no. She'll go, oh, no, thanks. And she, I see in her a sense of pride, and I just want to make sure all along that she knows why and that she understands. And she's such a soulful little girl, and she, I don't know, of course anything's possible, but I just can't imagine her not continuing down the path because I can already tell that it means something to her.
Well, that's an important message about raising children with honesty, raising children with good morals and ethics,
yes.
And allowing that to sink in and have them think for themselves.
Yeah, I want her to be a critical thinker. And, you know, like she even asks me, she says, she'll say, you know, a couple of children's names in her class. Why do so-and-so and so-and-so eat chicken, you know, when they kill the chickens? And I said, well, honey, I said, not everyone has gotten to the point where they understand how that's not really good for the animals, that's not really good for their body. And I said, just so lucky that you understand that, and maybe you can help other people, you know. And she's like, oh, okay. She always tells me, she goes, I need a vegan partner. She said, I need a vegan partner that's 4.
That's really good. You know, another thing that's good is you're giving her good foundation in terms of having a good sense of self and
mm-hmm.
not feeling a need to, I hate this expression, but be a sheep and go with the masses. And like you said, a critical thinker. These are all really excellent tools that all came out of you wanting
veganism.
To share this
yeah.
vegan philosophy.
Well, and I feel like she's so lucky because just like I had when I was a kid. She, you know, adores every animal she meets. And it's always been a big disconnect that people will take their children to a petting zoo and teach them to be all sweet and, oh, love the animals and treat them with kindness and respect. And then they'll sit down at a table, maybe right 10 feet away, and eat a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just such a disconnect. I'm like, and the children don't know that's what's happening. And it's just there's something missing there in the middle. And it's like, I just wanted my daughter to understand the truth of, and I show her different things. Like, I don't show her obviously anything graphic, but I'll show her videos of people talking about things, especially other children, you know, talking about veganism or talking about why they're vegetarian or vegan. Mm. And so then she gets other children's perspective too.
That's nice. And she knows she's not the only one.
Oh yeah, she definitely knows she's not the only one, but she also knows that she is unique in that way and that the masses aren't doing it yet.
Okay, what does she like to eat?
That. Oh gosh, I mean, you know, it's funny. Her favorite thing in the world is like, she's maybe because of me, she loves pasta. Because I'm a big, like, I grew up with an Italian stepfather, so I love anything Italian. She loves pasta. And her favorite is with the vegan butter and then with our olive oil and then nutritional yeast flakes. I know it sounds so plain, but it's like, that's like one of her absolute favorite things to eat.
Well, and most kids like plain pasta with butter and salt, so that's not unusual at all.
Yeah, she would eat that every day. And then, you know, she likes fruit and stuff and veg, you know, she's in a weird stage where she can just look at something and go, I don't like it. And, which I think is pretty normal for, you know, a 4.5-year-old. But, then she'll surprise me and she'll try, you know, new things here and there. Like she discovered that she really likes broccoli all of a sudden. And it's just, it really with her age, it kind of depends on week to week, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I just keep putting new things in her lunchbox and I just keep trying to get her. I don't push it too hard. If I push it, she'll push back. If I just act like it's no big deal, just try a bite, I have a better chance.
And so far you've done pretty well going to parties with party food.
Kids parties or grown up parties?
Yeah, kids parties.
You know, kids parties, I'll tell you a couple of interesting things about that. One is, you know, I've had really good success with, I'll just email the parents and say, most of them know anyway, but say, you know, Ever's vegan, would you like me to bring, you know, some vegan pizza or vegan cupcakes? And a lot of people will say, no, I'll handle it. I'll get a slice for her and a vegan cupcake. And if not, or like a couple times someone said, I wouldn't know what to do, so I just bring something for her that's similar to what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the really cool thing is I always throw a big party for her, obviously, on her birthday. And, you know, I'll bring a lot of different vegan food or vegan pizza and vegan cake. And some of the moms at the school are like, it's funny, my boyfriend has a son, and they're not vegan. And when we had his birthday party, a couple of the moms were so disappointed because they said, the vegan cake wasn't here, and it's so much better. Like, some of these moms that aren't vegan, we're like, oh, we were so excited that it was going to be your party because that vegan cake is like the best.
Yay, vegan cake is the best.
I mean, it's just funny. It's like, and also the other thing I get is the moms will ask me, what is this or that you put in Ever's lunchbox because, you know, their son or daughter wants it, but they don't know what it is or where to get it.
Mm.
You know, I'll have to be like, oh, well, what was it? And then I try to help them, you know, so I love it that she's kind of a little vegan ambassador, you know what I mean? She's not meaning to be, but
absolutely.
She is.
And you don't seem to be fazed at all with traveling as a vegan.
No, I've never had a problem. You know, it's so funny because even going to other countries, I mean, first of all, you just have to be a little bit creative. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
If you go to a Mexican place, you really can't just get, you know, beans and vegetables and avocado and throw it in a burrito. I mean, it's pretty good. It's like in a pinch, you can be creative. And also, I realized that all these other countries now, vegan restaurants are popping up.
You
know,
it is
there's
crazy.
Vegan restaurants all over. I mean, It wasn't that way 10 years ago, but it sure is now.
Well, I also found traveling around the world that in a lot of places, it's not unusual to eat vegetables and fruits.
Well,
like,
you know,
many countries weren't as meat focused as we are here in the United States. So you could always find some kind of vegetable thing in many, many places. But now you're right. There's even more opportunity because vegan restaurants are popping up everywhere.
Well, and you know what it is? You're so right, because I don't know what it is about America, but it's like everything has to have something to do with meat and cheese and ranch dressing. I don't get it. But when you go when you go to other countries, they do, first of all, they have, not every place, but there tends to be more high-quality vegetables and fruits that just taste, like, amazing almost on their own. But then also, they're more creative with their vegetables and fruits. Like, they don't just, you know, slice it up and throw it. They do all these amazing dishes, and you're like, oh, my God, I never even thought to make it that way.
Well, I'm sure you know this, but there are many great recipes to make vegan ranch dressing, so it's not like you can't even have ranch dressing.
No, I know.
In fact, the first ranch dressing I ever made came from the Real Food Daily cookbook. There's a bunch of Real Food Dailies in Los Angeles. I'm sure you've been there.
I've been there, yeah. And also Follow Your Heart has a really great one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Okay, are you a perfect vegan, Deanna Scott Dillon?
No, of course not. I mean, as far as, you know, that's the whole thing. I think people sometimes think it's, there's different, like, myths about it. Some people think, oh, it's a trendy thing you're doing. And I'm like, well, I've been doing it for a really long time then, as a trend. And then other people, I think that you're doing it as a, I don't know, a high and mighty thing, or it doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, it's, for me, it just had more to do with, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to be a part of that kind of objectification of the animals and just the, I don't think it's a solid product. Like, I just think it's a, first of all, there's torture involved, which seems bad. And then I just think that they're filthy places, bacteria, hormones, antibiotics. I don't want to be a part of all that. I don't think that's me being high and mighty. I think it's just, I'm saying no thank you.
You're not perfect, but you are a critical thinker.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm better. I'm just, I don't want to, and I also don't want to spend my money on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to put my money towards it.
We just have a few minutes left. I was noticing in the back of the book, you have a number of books that you recommend, and a few of them are the children's books by Ruby Roth, and I've interviewed her a number of times. I've loved her books. What did your daughter think of her books?
She loves them. I mean, she, you know, we have them all, and she loves them, and she shares them with her cousins, and she has one little cousin who is vegan, but she has others who aren't, and, you know, I think Ever, my daughter is named Ever. She's pretty lucky because, you know, she's such a sweet little girl. The people in her life just embrace it, and I'm sure she's going to have an effect on them. But I just think it's nice for her to have those books to be able to also share with, like, her cousins and her friends, because it sort of helps her maybe say some things that she doesn't know how to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's even bought a couple of those books, and obviously I've bought them, but she wanted to, and given them to, like, her cousin Ava and her cousin Estella, and, you know, it's part of her wanting to share something about herself.
Well, when those books came out, especially the first one, there were some very negative reactions about parents not wanting to get this information in front of their young children. And there's that disconnect and that hypocrisy again. Why don't you want to let your children know the truth, what's really happening? And if it's so awful, how can you support it?
I know that, you know, that's something that is maddening to me when I really get thinking about it. I'm like, I've had debates with really good friends of mine who have children, and I'm like, how can you think that the right thing to do is to lie to your children and feed this to them, and they have no idea what it is? How can you feel like that is good parenting? I just don't agree with it. I'm like, if you can be honest with your child and stand behind it and explain it to them in a proper way, great. But to lie to them and want to hide it and conceal it, and then that's a part that I just, and that's the reason why so many people are conditioned to this day, and they don't know why.
Yeah. I have to believe that you're going to have a much better time and a better relationship with your child when she becomes a teenager and later an adult, knowing that you are always honest and truthful and you have a relationship based on that. That's got to make a big difference.
Well, and just like I'm no perfect vegan, I'm no perfect mother, but I do strive to be honest with my daughter and let her know. If she asks me a question about anything, I try to answer her as honestly as possible without giving her too much information for her age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we've actually come to the end of the program, and I wanted to thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, Deanna. It's been a real pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you. And anyone out there who's from Iowa or wants a simple way to learn about vegan food or to introduce other people about it, One Vegan Mama is a really good place to start.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you, too.
Yeah, take care.
Thank
okay,
you.
We have like
bye.
Bye. We have like about a minute left, and I just wanted to say I was talking about Blossom du Jour earlier in the program, and if you want to see what I was eating because it just looks so good, you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and check on the What Vegans Eat Day 341. You can see my sandwich, and it's so gooey good. And I think I got to stop talking about food because it's the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in live, tuning in love, and have a very delicious week. Bye-bye.